Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Thursday morning, October 20th, 2022 episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. This is a podcast that is dedicated to the public reading of the Word of God, as well as some prayers and a devotion each morning. This is a podcast that kind of spun out of an idea. I actually picked it up from somebody else I listened to. They do a public reading, a totally different Bible plan, as well as speak on their thoughts. And sometimes I'll speak on mine. But I, in listening to that and in thinking through some things, realized that, you know, the fact is, the body of Christ, the church has become very, very, very biblically illiterate. And that's not a comment on their intellect. It's a comment on the fact that they just seem to not be able to find time to spend it in the Word of God. And for some people, honestly, due to conditions they may have, they end up struggling with symptoms like brain fog, where it becomes very, very hard, as much as they may even love to read and love to read the Word of God. They start struggling with being able to sit down and read it. So it was my thought to be able to share this with them, share this part. This has been a part of my morning routine for years. And it came to mind that, you know what, why not share this with others? And maybe not only will the public reading maybe help me myself be a little more focused and a little less blasé when I do my morning reading and stuff, that it could help others. It could help to feed them. So that was my motivation. So the prayers we do each morning are from the Valley of Vision. It is a collection of Puritan prayers. This is not like a Book of Common Prayer but this is not like forcing people to pray a particular way. That's not what it is. It's just, these were very, very godly men, that wrote these out, wrote out their doctrine, wrote out their connection with their Lord. And they beautifully, beautifully put into words, much better than I can myself. And they helped me get into a more prayerful state of mind. Not that I don't do my own praying, as you could have heard on any number of the previous podcasts where I've prayed. But these gentlemen just were so doctrinally sound, so steeped in the Word of God, so just filled with the Holy Spirit. And so it helps. It helps me each morning to be able to get into it. Our devotion is from Charles Spurgeon, Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. We do the morning devotion for whatever the particular day is. And then we do our reading. The Bible reading plan we use is Robert Murray McShane's Read the Bible in a Year plan that he created for his congregation in 1842. Because they were struggling with being more, and he realized there was a need for them to be more and more in the Word. So we use that Bible reading plan and we read from the Legacy Standard Bible. I chose that translation because at this time it is the most texturally accurate to the earliest manuscripts we have of the documents. There are links to everything that I'm reading from in the show notes. I read from the web because the print's bigger and easier for me to read from when I'm trying to record like this. However, there are links also in the show notes where you can find hard copies of these things. And I would definitely encourage you to have hard copies from things. Believe me, when I regularly go to read this stuff, I read it out of the hard copies, not from here, not from online. I'm just offering that up as an interim resource, but I would definitely encourage you to get the hard copies. And also in those show notes, there is a link to a PDF of McShane's letter to his congregation along with the plan. So you can have it yourself and you can do this reading outside of listening to me. And you can do it as you continue on into next year. I have an idea that I'm going to change up our Read the Bible in a Year plan next year and go to a 5-day a week reading plan. You still read the Bible in a year, but then do more specific episodes for weekend stuff, more planned out, more theological, more theologically focused on the weekends, more maybe speaking about things going on in the world from a biblical worldview with very specific topic matter. So to change things up a little bit, doesn't mean I'm going to stop reading McShane's Bible reading plan. I will continue to do that on my own. But just thinking about something different. So I would definitely recommend that you get it. I mean, cause again, I've been using it for 6 years or so, and I'm going to continue to use it, but I may podcast, I may use a different one next year. That's at least my thoughts at this time. And of course that's God willing that I make it into next year. So who knows whether that's going to happen. Let's see, a couple different things. So I still don't have any news on the new ministry opportunity, that I've mentioned before. I don't have anything to tell you yet. I'm still doing some research into it, still doing a lot of praying about it and a lot of spending time in the Word. So I'll let you know when I can let you know. And I will put out, I don't know that anybody local other than my wife is listening to this. But if you're local to the Vail, Arizona area, Vail is out southeast of Tucson, Vail Valley Baptist Church, which is where we're attending now, is doing a harvest festival on October 30th. So it's kind of a trunk or treat. There's going to be a trunk or treat set up, but we're also going to be doing some other things as well. So I've even been called in to do something for the harvest festival, which is going to be interesting. The pastor had a really interesting idea, so we'll see how that comes off. But we would definitely encourage you to come. It'll be from 6 to 7:30 Arizona time, so 6 to 7:30 out at their church. I don't actually have the address, but you could look up Vail Valley Baptist Church in Vail, Arizona, and it'll give you the address where the church building is and where this is going to go on. All right, let's go ahead and get on into our reading. So our first reading for the day, our first reading, we're going to do our prayers. And as has been our practice, the first two prayers we do each day are common prayers that I use every day, to help me prepare for the day, to prepare for the craziness that comes on each day. I mean, not just for me, but in this world that can drive anxiety and depression and fear and all of that. And these two tend to remind me that, as I said, I think I said yesterday, and I've probably said multiple times before, it reminds me that as much as I am weak in myself, there is strength in God, and that He has ordained this, and that honestly, whether I understand it or not, He means all that happens around me for my good. Even trials, they're meant for my good. The fact is, some of the greater steps I've made in my Christian walk have been in times of trials. And that's true, honestly, of most people. So it's meant for my good, whether I understand it or not. And obviously, honestly, most times I can be relatively stupid. And I'm not saying that to try to be falsely humble. The fact is, I can be relatively stupid sometimes. Sometimes I can be like that bug bouncing against the window, trying to get out when the window's closed. But these help. These tend to help me. And then we'll do our prayer for the morning, the fifth day morning prayer. So, resting on God. O God, most high, most glorious, the thought of thine infinite serenity cheers me, for I am toiling and moiling, troubled and distressed. But thou art forever at perfect peace. Thy designs cause thee no fear or care of unfulfillment. They stand fast as the eternal hills. Thy power knows no bond, thy goodness no stint. Thou bringest order out of confusion, and my defeats are thy victories. The Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. I come to thee as a sinner with cares and sorrows, to leave every concern entirely to thee, every sin calling for Christ's precious blood. Revive deep spirituality in my heart. Let me live near to the great shepherd, hear his voice, know its tones, follow its calls. keep me from deception by causing me to abide in the truth, from harm by helping me to walk in the power of the Spirit. Give me intenser faith in the eternal verities, burning into me by experience the things I know. Let me never be ashamed of the truth of the gospel, that I may bear its reproach, vindicated, see Jesus as its essence, know in it the power of the Spirit. Lord, help me, for I am often lukewarm and chill. Unbelief mars my confidence. Sin makes me forget thee. Let the weeds that grow in my soul be cut at their roots. Grant me to know that I truly live only when I live to thee, that all else is trifling. Thy presence alone can make me holy, devout, strong, and happy. Abide in me, gracious God. Amen. And grace in trials. Father of mercies, hear me for Jesus' sake. I am sinful even in my closest walk with thee. It is of thy mercy I died not long ago. Thy grace has given me faith in the cross, by which thou hast reconciled thyself to me and me to thee, drawing me by thy great love, reckoning me as innocent in Christ, though guilty in myself. Giver of all graces, I look to thee for strength to maintain them in me, for it is hard to practice what I believe. Strengthen me against temptations. My heart is an unexhausted fountain of sin, a river of corruption since childhood days, flowing on in every pattern of behavior. Thou hast disarmed me of the means in which I trusted, and I have no strength but in thee. Thou alone canst hold back my evil ways, but without thy grace to sustain me, I fall. Satan's darts quickly inflame me, and the shield that should quench them easily drops from my hand. Empower me against his wiles and assaults. Keep me sensible of my weakness and of my dependence upon thy strength. Let every trial teach me more of thy peace, more of thy love. Thy Holy Spirit is given to increase thy graces, and I cannot preserve or improve them unless he works continually in me. May he confirm my trust in thy promised help, and let me walk humbly in dependence upon thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen. All right, and fifth day morning, it's called the Giver. Creator, upholder, and proprietor of all things, we cannot escape from thy presence and control, nor do we desire to do so. Our privilege is to be under the agency of thy omnipotence, righteousness, wisdom, patience, mercy, and grace. For thou art love with more than parental affection. We admire thy goodness, stand in awe of thy power, abase ourselves before thy purity. It is the discovery of thy goodness alone that can banish our fear. Allure us into thy presence. Help us to bewail and confess our sins. We review our past guilt and are conscious of present unworthiness. We bless thee that thy steadfast love and attributes are essential to our happiness and hope. Thou hast witnessed to us thy grace and mercy in the bounties of nature, in the fullness of thy providence, in the revelations of Scripture, in the gift of thy Son, in the proclamation of the gospel. Make us willing to be saved in thy own way, perceiving nothing in ourselves, but all in Jesus. Help us not only to receive him, but to walk in him, depend upon him, commune with him, follow him as dear children, imperfect, but still pressing forward, not complaining of labor, but valuing rest, not murmuring under trials, but thankful for our state. And by so doing, let us silence the ignorance of foolish men. Amen. All right, those are our prayers for the morning, and I'm going to get some coffee here. Okay, and now our morning devotion, again from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. It's the morning, October 20th article, and it's the text for it is Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Many Christians remain stunted and dwarfed in spiritual things, so as to present the same appearance year after year. No upspringing of advanced and refined feeling is manifest in them. They exist, but do not grow up into him in all things. But should we rest content with being in the green blade, when we might advance to the ear and eventually ripen into the full corn in the ear? Should we be satisfied to believe in Christ and to say, I am saved, without wishing to know in our own experience more of the fullness which is to be found in him? It should not be so. We should, as good traders in heaven's market, covet to be enriched in the knowledge of Jesus. It is all very well to keep other men's vineyards, but we must not neglect our own spiritual growth and ripening. Why should it always be winter time in our hearts? We must have our seed time, it is true. But oh, for a springtime, yea, a summer season, which shall give promise of an early harvest. If we would ripen in grace, we must live near to Jesus, in his presence, ripened by the sunshine of his smiles. We must hold sweet communion with him. We must leave the distant view of his face and come near, as John did, and pillow our head on his breast. Then shall we find ourselves advancing in holiness, in love, in faith, in hope, yea, in every precious gift. As the sun rises first on mountaintops and gilds them with his light and presents one of the most charming sights to the eye of the traveler, so is it one of the most delightful contemplations in the world to mark the glow of the Spirit's light on the head of some saints who has risen up in spiritual stature, like Saul, above his fellows, till like a mighty Alp, snow-capped, he reflects first among the chosen the beams of the Sun of Righteousness and bears the sheen of his effulgence high aloft for all to see, and seeing it to glorify his Father, which is in heaven. All right. And on to our Bible reading, and I'm going to take some more coffee real quick because I've still got that yucky in my throat. I guess I'm just not used to doing this much talking each morning. Being a programmer and getting up very early in the morning, even working from home, and having my wife not wake up till like 3 hours later. Prior to doing this podcast, I don't do a lot of talking. I mean, my dogs are very quiet and don't usually ask me for conversation. So I guess my body is getting used to doing this. Okay. So our Bible reading. Wow. I'm sorry. I've got a TV over here beside me, and I've got a harvest scene because it's fall, even though in Arizona, well, in this part of Arizona, we don't have trees that do color changes and stuff. So I've got a nice picture with all the music and stuff turned down beside me because it's just nice to have around, but it changed up on me there. Okay. So our Bible reading. So what we're going to read today is 2 Kings 1, 2 Thessalonians 1, Daniel 5, Psalm 110, and Psalm 111. So 2 Kings 1. Now Moab revolted against Israel after the death of Ahab, and Ahaziah fell through the lattice in his upper chamber, which was in Samaria, and became ill. So he sent messengers and said to them, Go, inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I will live from this sickness. But the angel of Yahweh said to Elijah the Tishbite, Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say to them, Is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus says Yahweh, You shall not come down from the bed where you have gone up, but you shall surely die. Then Elijah departed. So the messengers returned to him, and he said to them, Why have you returned? And they said to him, A man came up to meet us and said to us, Go, return to the king who sent you, and say to him, Thus says Yahweh, Is it because there is no God in Israel that you are sending to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, you shall not come down from the bed where you have gone up, but shall surely die. And he said to them, What kind of man was he who came up to meet you and spoke these words to you? And they said to him, He was a hairy man with a leather girdle girded about his loins. And he said, It is Elijah the Tishbite. Then the king sent to him a commander of 50 with his 50, and he went up to him, and behold, he was sitting on the top of the hill. And he said to him, O man of God, the king says, Come down. And Elijah answered and spoke to the commander of 50, If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Then fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. So he again sent to him another commander of 50 with his 50. And he answered and spoke to him, O man of God, thus says the king, Come down quickly. And Elijah answered and spoke to them, If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Then the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. So he again set the commander of a third 50 with his 50. Then the third commander of 50 went up and came and bowed down on his knees before Elijah. And he begged him and said to him, O man of God, please let my life and the lives of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. Behold, fire came down from heaven and consumed the first two commanders of 50 with their 50s. But now let my life be precious in your sight. Then the angel of Yahweh spoke to Elijah, Go down with him. Do not be afraid of him. So he arose and went down with him to the king. Then he spoke to him, Thus says Yahweh, Because you have sent messengers to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, is it because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed where you have gone up, but shall surely die. So Ahaziah died according to the word of Yahweh, which Elijah had spoken. And because he had no son, Jehoram became king in his place, in the second year of Jehoram the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? All right, 2 Thessalonians 1. So now we're into the second letter that Paul wrote to the Thessalonican church. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is only fitting, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of each one of you all toward one another increases all the more, so that we ourselves boast about you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering. Since it is right for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give rest to you who are afflicted, and to us as well at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven, with his mighty angels in flaming fire, executing vengeance on those who do not know God, and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction, away from the presence of the Lord, and from the glory of his might, when he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day, and to be marveled at among all who have believed, for our witness to you was believed. To this end also we pray for you always, that our God will count you worthy of your calling, and fulfill all your good pleasure, for goodness and the work of faith with power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Daniel 5. Okay, this is getting into Daniel interacting with Belshazzar, who was the next king. Belshazzar the king held a great feast for 1,000 of his nobles, and he was drinking wine in the presence of the 1,000. When Belshazzar tasted the wine, he said to bring the gold and silver vessels which Nebuchadnezzar his father had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines, might drink from them. Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken out of the temple, the house of God, which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines, drank from them. They drank the wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Suddenly the fingers of a man's hand came out and began writing opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's place, and the king saw the back of the hand that did the writing. Then the splendor of the king's face changed, and his thoughts alarmed him, and his hip joints went slack, and his knees were knocking against each other. The king called out loudly to bring in the conjurers, the Chaldeans, and the diviners. The king answered and said to the wise men of Babylon, Any man who can read this writing and declare its interpretation to me shall be clothed with purple and have a necklace of gold around his neck and rule with power as third ruler in the kingdom. Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing or make known its interpretation to the king. Then King Belshazzar was greatly alarmed, and the splendor of his face changed further, and his nobles were perplexed. The queen entered the banquet hall because of the words of the king and his nobles. The queen answered and said, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts alarm you or the splendor of your face be changed. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is a spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of your father, illumination, insight, and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, set him as chief of the magicians, conjurers, Chaldeans, and diviners. This was because an extraordinary spirit, knowledge, and insight, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, and solving of difficult problems were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Let Daniel now be summoned, and he will declare the interpretation. Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king answered and said to Daniel, Are you that Daniel who is one of the exiles from Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? Now I have heard about you, that a spirit of the gods is in you, and that illumination, insight, and extraordinary wisdom have been found in you. Just now the wise men and the conjurers were brought in before me, that they might read this writing and make its interpretation known to me. But they could not declare the interpretation of the message. But I personally have heard about you, that you are able to give interpretations and solve difficult problems. Now, if you are able to read the writing and make its interpretation known to me, you will be clothed with purple and wear a necklace of gold around your neck, and you will rule with power as the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, Let your gifts remain with you, or give your rewards to someone else. However, I will read the writing to the king and make the interpretation known to you. O king, the Most High God granted the kingdom, grandeur, glory, and majesty to Nebuchadnezzar your father. And because of the grandeur which he bestowed on him, all the peoples, nations, and men of every tongue feared and were in dread before him. Whomever he wished he killed, and whomever he wished he kept alive, and whomever he wished he raised up, and whomever he wished he made low. But when his heart was raised up, and his spirit became so strong that he behaved arrogantly, he was deposed from his royal throne, and his glory was taken away from him. He was also driven away from the sons of men, and his heart was made like that of beasts, and his place of habitation was with the wild donkeys. He was given grass to eat like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of the sky, until he knew that the Most High God is the powerful ruler over the kingdom of mankind, and that he sets up over it whomever he wishes. Yet you, his son, Belshazzar, have not made your heart lowly, even though you knew all this. But you have raised yourself up against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your nobles, your wives and your concubines, have been drinking wine from them, and you have praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see, hear, or know. But the God in whose hands are your life breath and all your ways, you have not honored. Then the hand was sent from him, and this writing was inscribed. Now this is the writing that was inscribed. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the message. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and put an end to it. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and found lacking. Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given over to the Medes and the Persians. Then Belshazzar said the word, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a necklace of gold around his neck and issued a proclamation concerning him that he now would be the third powerful ruler in the kingdom. That same night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was killed. So Darius, the Mede, received the kingdom at about the age of 62. All right, and now Psalm 110. Yahweh says to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I put your enemies as a footstool for your feet. Yahweh will stretch forth your strong scepter from Zion, saying, Have dominion in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely in the day of your power, in the splendor of holiness from the womb of the dawn. The dew of your youthfulness will be yours. Yahweh has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will crush kings in the day of his anger. He will render justice among the nations. He will fill them with corpses. He will crush the head that is over the wide earth. He will drink from the brook by the wayside. Therefore, he will lift up his head. All right. And Psalm 111. Praise Yah. I will give thanks to Yahweh with all my heart, in the council of the upright and in the congregation. Great are the works of Yahweh. They are sought by all who delight in them. Splendid and majestic is his work, and his righteousness stands forever. He has made his wondrous deeds to be remembered. Yahweh is gracious and compassionate. He has given food to those who fear him. He will remember his covenant forever. He has declared to his people the power of his works, and giving them an inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are truth and justice. All his precepts are faithful. They are upheld forever and ever. They are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and fearsome is his name. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. Good insight belongs to all those who do his commandments. His praise stands forever. All right. And that is our reading for the morning. And clicking a few things here. All right. Go back there. There we go. All right. So let me take some coffee here real quick. I'm thinking maybe I should take some lemon in the morning. I think I remember back in the day, long, long ago, when I was a musician, that some of our singers, especially when we were doing recordings and stuff, would use lemon, whether lemon juice or whatever, to cut the junk out of their throat before they went to sing, so they didn't have these kind of issues. So maybe I'll try that. We'll see. Let's see. So it is Thursday in the week. We've got crazy, crazy. That actually looks worse. I'm looking out the window beside me. I'm up on our second story and looking out the window. The wind here has been crazy. It's been knocking down 20 mile an hour or so with gusts higher. Of course, we joke about the fact out here in Vail, we call it the Vail Gale, because we almost always have wind blowing out here. Now, a lot of times it's a relatively decent little breeze, which is totally fine. Actually, I don't mind having the wind regularly blowing out here. Just when it blows like that, sometimes it's just ridiculous. And because I have dogs that can be very tentative around that kind of noise, needless to say, like right now, even though I didn't open anything up this morning because it was down below 60, and while I like the cooler air, I didn't want all the noise because of the wind, because he's already sitting up under my feet right now. He's just... My little boy is, my not-a-doodle, is so freaked out by just the wind noise, period. The gate to our yard, the way it's mounted, whatever the way the wind blows, it'll rattle in its frame. But we get all kinds of, just the way the wind blows is kind of nutsy out here sometimes. But it's otherwise been nice. We're staying down. Actually, the wife and I turned the air conditioning off a couple weeks ago. And we're actually, or maybe a week ago, whatever. And we're actually enjoying it. The house is staying perfectly normal. And I'm sure my power bill is dropping like a rock, especially with having solar panels on my roof. Don't get me wrong. The solar panels only cover about 46%, if I remember correctly, of my peak usage through the year. But this time of year is when it typically starts dropping off. So hopefully I can start getting back down to where I'm paying like the minimum service fee at most. Because we do our best to minimally use electricity. Of course, I have my computers and stuff like that, and they can be pretty big power draws. So that's not great, but that's how I pay the bills. So kind of have to do that. There's been crazy stuff going on out in the world out there. And I want to just mention, I'm not going to dive into it. Honestly, if you want to if you want to listen to a pretty solid addressing of what I'm about to talk about, Voice of Reason Radio. Excuse me. Chris and Rich did a podcast on this a week ago. Yeah, because this last weekend they weren't able to get one out, but the weekend before, they spoke on this. And it was about, actually, let me look up the name, in my Podbean. I use Podbean for the podcasts I listen to. Let me go find it. Voice of Reason Radio. And, oh no, it was 2 weeks ago, I think, if I remember right. Okay. I don't want to run that again. Okay, yeah, that was the right one. So it's the title for it. And so it's from the October 1st, and it's How and Why Are You Engaging the Culture War? And they dealt with it very, very well. Very much enjoyed their podcast. I only kind of, I was going to say disagree, but I didn't really disagree because I think the way they addressed it wasn't necessarily in conflict with how I've been led to believe biblically. But where they were talking about imprecatory prayers. And the way it initially came off to me was that they were saying imprecatory prayers were not the way that the Christian should approach things. And I don't always agree with that. However, with all the crazy stuff going on around us, around you and I, it can be very hard for the Christian to figure out how do I deal with this? Because you start, can become very, very easy to end up in confrontation with people, with your neighbors, with your family. Honestly, with law enforcement, I watched a video last night, Jeff Durbin. I'm sorry. I couldn't think of the name there for a minute. Jeff Durbin, about, Apologia Church up in Phoenix. They regularly do a ministry outside of Planned Parenthood, which I think is wonderful. I've never gone and done that, but I think that's wonderful. Got to stop killing the babies. Got to stop the culture of death. But law enforcement showed up, and law enforcement behaved, and I know this for a fact, they behaved illegally. They behaved unconstitutionally. Law enforcement behaved unconstitutionally towards him. And he sat there and he was respectful, but he showed them the law. He had documents in his hand that designated the law both of Tempe itself, as well as United States Supreme Court decisions on this, as well as Superior Court and everything else. All of those, he had all that documentation with him to show them that what he was doing was constitutional, and they did not have a right to issue him a warning or anything else. Nor had they had the right the week before to issue a criminal citation to one of the other people and to steal, not legally take, to steal over $300 worth of property from that man. And needless to say, there are lawsuits going on right now. There are lawsuits that have been started because of this, because these police officers were behaving totally illegally, totally unconstitutionally. So we're in a world where we may end up confronting stuff like this, and it becomes very, very easy for us to consider them the enemy. Okay. It becomes very easy for us to consider them the enemy. And I have to remind myself that they are not the enemy. They are the mission field. Yes, they may end up putting themselves in conflict with us, but they are our mission field, and we have to remember that. And that's where I totally and completely agree with Chris and Rich. We have to love them. We have to love them. We have to love them so much that we will bring them the truth and the gospel, and we do so in love. Now, where what it sounded like Chris and Rich said, and I don't think they meant it this way, I think what they were trying to address, and that's why I think sometimes even when you're dealing with the scripture, you got to remember who the author is trying to address and the problem they're trying to deal with. Otherwise, it's very, very easy to misinterpret, to misunderstand a passage of scripture. excuse me. Like people try to do between Paul and James, where the book of James speaks of faith without works is dead. But then Paul speaks that faith is from grace alone, that there are no works that can earn you faith, that can earn you righteousness. And people try to put those in conflict, except you have to look at who Paul was speaking to and the problem he was addressing and what James was speaking to and the problem he was addressing. They were two totally different problems. Their text is not in conflict. Paul was dealing with people that were trying to add, he was basically dealing with the Judaizers who were trying to add works into the process of faith, like a number of our religions out there nowadays try to do. I'm sorry, I love my Roman Catholic brothers, but all the different works that the Roman Catholicism has tried to add in as part of your process of being saved is completely false and non-biblical. It is heresy. But the same is true of many other religions. That's just an easy one to think of. Mormonism. Same kind of thing. All these works added in. It's faith plus, faith plus. That's what he was dealing with, trying to be clear that it's faith alone. It's faith alone. James was trying to deal with people who claimed they were saved and had the faith, but then were doing nothing. And James is addressing the fact that if you claim you have faith, but it shows no fruit in you, then your faith is dead, meaning non-existent. It's not really there. Two different problems. So those two are not in conflict. Same thing is true here. I think what Chris and Rich were addressing was the fact that people want to get angry and they want to start spewing imprecatory prayers. And they want to spew them in anger and hate. That's not what that is about. That is not how we address that. They are our mission field. We are to love them. We are to love our fellow man. So in doing so, if it comes to the point where we pray imprecatory prayers, and our previous pastor, my brother Mitchell, was very, very clear about this, and I absolutely agree with him, that there are times where it may become necessary that we pray imprecatory prayers. We don't do it out in public, running around and spewing like we're spewing hate. We pray it in love. And Psalm 83 gives a very, very, very clear indication of that. And I'm going to look it up real quick because I want to get you the last. Here we go. Psalm 83. And it makes very clear, it calls down judgment on those that hate God. Your enemies, it goes on, verse 2, for behold, your enemies roar, and those who hate you have lifted up their heads, speaking to God. But you've got to get to the end of that. And it even keeps calling out, 16. So I'm going to read 16 verses 16 through 18 of Psalm 83. Fill their faces with disgrace, that they may seek your name, O Yahweh, that they may seek your name. Let them be ashamed and dismayed forever, and let them be humiliated and perish, that they may know that you alone, your name is Yahweh, are the Most High over all the earth. The whole point of that prayer is to turn them to God. It's out of love to turn them to God. There are some out there that are going to... that it is going to take them being crushed by the consequences of their actions, by the consequences of their sin, to bring them back to a saving faith in Christ, or to bring them to a saving faith in Christ, I should say, because you can't lose that salvation. But that's the thing. That's the only difference I had with them. And again, I don't think it really was a difference. It was just, they were addressing one thing and I'm talking about another. Because I would agree with them. running off straight to imprecatory prayers and spew. And most of us that would do this without really stopping and praying and knowing our motivation, a motivation of love, a motivation of wanting to see them saved, it becomes very easy to start spewing imprecatory things. And one of the things they brought up, and I'm they did a great job of it. They spent well over an hour. I'm not doing that this morning. But they brought up John MacArthur's open letter to Governor Gavin Newsom. And this is somebody who has been persecuting MacArthur's church, Grace Community Church. Well, I'm sorry, the church that Dr. MacArthur serves, Grace Community Church, since COVID started. They've been persecuting him and that church, illegally and unconstitutionally been persecuting him. To the point the government finally had to lay down and quit. And actually they've been ordered to award financial gain, if I remember correctly, to MacArthur's church. Now that's not why MacArthur and them took them to court with this stuff. It was making, honestly, a spiritual point. But in MacArthur's letter, if you read it, and I would encourage you to read it, actually, you can go out to gty.org, Grace to You, gty.org, and you can find his open letter. And it becomes very, very clear, Dr. MacArthur, and this is what Chris and Rich said, this is led from them. This is not original thought on my part. But he truly addressed it. In a case of love, he showed clear love for Gavin Newsom and any other government people that are doing the kind of things. And in this case, he was directly addressing the fact that Newsom started putting up billboards all over the country, twisting God's word to promote abortion, to promote the murder of babies. And I'm sorry, you can disagree with me all you want to. The fact is, abortion is the murder of babies. It is murder. You can argue all you want to. You can play semantics all you want to. Abortion is murder. Abortion is murder. And we have murdered more babies in this country than those that were killed and I'm not belittling these things, please understand me, than those that were killed in the Holocaust by the Nazis, than those that were the millions and millions on top of that were slaughtered by Russia, by Stalin and his people, during World War II and on out the end of that, then have been slaughtered in China by the regimes that have come up, the communist regimes that have come up, put together. So, you know, it is a culture of death. It is murder. And so Dr. MacArthur called him out on it, but he called him out in love. And he told him clearly, listen, I would pray that you would come back to God. And I'm paraphrasing. I'm not using his words exactly because I don't actually have it up, because this kind of came on as we finished our reading today. But clearly that is how we approach this culture. We've got to be different. If we turn around and respond in anger and snap back, we're being just like them. And that's not what we're called to be. We are and I've said this before, actually relatively recently in the podcast, we are the ecclesia, that is the Greek. We are the ecclesia, we are the set apart ones. Doesn't mean we go off in a corner and live off in a little convent somewhere. We are the set, and I'm not saying that to disparage convents or anything. We don't go off and live in our little cubby somewhere and isolate ourselves. But we are set apart in our behavior and in our walk. So we don't turn around and lash out in anger and hate. We turn around and we love them. And we love them enough to tell them the truth. Tell them the truth of sin and judgment. And tell them the truth of the hope that is in a saving faith in Christ. And to call them to repentance and faith. That's who we're to be. And I say that knowing that I struggle with that. I'm very, very quick to want to turn around and snap back very quickly. And I've had to take serious action on my own part to shut myself up until I've prayerfully and biblically processed things so I can respond that way. Because if I don't, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to show my fleshly side and just be such an awful witness for Christ. So I just bring that up to give you a little bit of a boost, to give you a little bit of a direction. We have to approach this world. We have to approach this culture war. We have to approach this around us in love. We stand firm in Christ, but we address them in love. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so blessed this morning to be able to get together with you and to be able to consume your word and the prayers and the devotion that we've taken in this morning. And Lord, we would continue to pray that it would edify us, it would equip us, it would lift us up, and it would hedge up our ways. It would help us to walk more solidly, step by step, in a walk that mirrors you, and a walk that your and your holiness, a walk that mirrors Christ, so that we are truly the Christian witnesses you've called us to be in this world, Lord. That we would truly be the set apart ones, but that we would turn to this world in love, in such love that we would tell them the truth of your wrath and of sin, but also the truth of the hope of the gospel. Dear Lord, please be with us as we go out into this world today. Please let us carry the things we've consumed this morning here in this time, and for it to truly shape how we address this world. Dear Lord, please continue to be with our, we continue to pray for our country. It is so in need of revival, and Lord, we pray that that revival would come. But in your time, your will would be done, whether it's further revival or whatever else, that your will would be done. We also continue to pray for those that were impacted by Ian and all the other storms that are running rampant out there. This is that time of season, Lord, but we would pray for their physical well-being, but more importantly, for their spiritual well-being, Lord, that in all of that, you would be glorified and that revival would come. In your name we pray, amen. All right, you go have yourself a great day. Oh, I was going to put out Tom. If you listen, Tom Clay was a friend of mine who has been listening. And I wanted to put out, I'm trying to get the information on the Wayne-ian so you can go get one, get a Tom-ian. So I am trying to get that. I'm trying to get it from my son and his girlfriend. So I will let you know as soon as I have it. And I will send you a private message so you can go get yourself one. And thank you for listening. I very much appreciate it. All right. So y'all have a great day. I love y'all. And remember to do everything you do today for the glory of God. God bless.